Like, how do you like your fancy RGB lights in your computer?
You know, they're okay. Those are fine. I'm more excited about my new purple and orange Joy-Cons, which, when you think about it, and, you know, since you already have Joy-Cons, it's $80 for a color change.
Right.
But, those colors.
Were you having Joy-Con drift?
Maybe Joy-Con regret. Is that a thing? No. I'm happy. I was having the drift, then it went away.
Oh, okay.
I just, like, took them off and on again. That's why I'm worried about the leg, because, like, you can't reset that. There's no Joy-Cons.
Yeah. You are screwed.
You're the Joy-Con. You got conned, Joy. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 9th, 2019. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother AJ. How's
Hello.
It going?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's not so good for it. Interesting.
Freedom of speech.
Interesting day on the 8th when we're recording this. Blizzard, going kind of crazy.
They've had, like, the worst PR year in, like, the history of video games.
Well, now, wait a second. A year cycle.
Yeah, like, starting last 12 months.
Yeah, starting with the whole Diablo Immortal thing. Yeah, so, if you don't know, Hearthstone Grand Masters are going on. It's, like, the big tournament for Hearthstone. I think it's the biggest. There's so many Hearthstone.
I believe it is.
Yeah. There's a player. He has a weird handle. What's his name? Blitz something. Let's call him Blitz. He did, like, a post-win interview, and during the interview, he wore a gas mask and supported the protests in Hong Kong.
Where's he from?
He's from Hong Kong.
He's from Hong Kong.
He's from Hong Kong. So, obviously, the Chinese wouldn't like this, specifically the Chinese government. So before they can even do anything, Blizzard, they punished the guy by banning him from future esports, Hearthstone esports events for a year. He also took away any prize money that he had won so far, which was like $10,000 or something. So, and they also, like, way less, like, with no explanation, said they're not going to work with the two broadcasters anymore.
Yeah, who, like, literally ducked behind their monitors when they realized what was going on.
I've specifically been like, so, like, why are those two being pushed? Like, no one knows. So, a big backlash from this. Probably bigger than they ever would have thought, because they were real mad. Yeah,
well, clearly.
So, it's pretty interesting. I wrote a story, but I think everybody's written about this. Blizzard made, like, the one statement where they're just like, well, this is the rule. And the rule
is like, super
the
vague.
The rule is, if you do something that upsets people, then up to our discretion, we can, like, punish you. It's like, well, I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything a person does could upset somebody.
Somebody, yeah.
Right? It's basically just, like, a rule to let them kind of do things when they want to sometimes, especially in regards to China. And, you know, China has very different laws about freedom of speech. There aren't many of them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, like, this wasn't, like, a Chinese tournament. It's a global tournament. It was, this kid's in Hong Kong, where, like, it's just...
So
I feel like all they had to do was nothing.
So
which go ahead. Sorry,
the concern is that Hearthstone's very big in China.
Well, yeah, I understand.
I think
that
last year it made more money in China, at least on mobile, than it did in America. And we've seen China do things like with South Park. South Park just had an episode criticizing China, so no more South Park in China. So I think that's what Blizzard worried about.
Well, NBA just had a similar thing too.
Right. Like, well, that was they're not going to broadcast some preseason.
No, there
games
was
in China.
More now. Other carriers or it was unclear. I couldn't tell from the article. It made it sound like NBA's just done on some of these distribution platforms that it had been on.
But so that's what Blizzard is worried about, because that's a giant chunk of money.
If they just didn't say anything and just let it go under the radar, and would China have responded? Like, was
yes,
it,
I think China probably would have punished them.
And here's what I honestly do wonder. Did China say something to merit, like, to cause this response from Blizzard? Was Blizzard being proactive, or were they kind of...
It's very likely. I mean, Activision Blizzard is 5% owned by Tencent, which is a major Chinese company.
Mm.
And then NetEase, another Chinese company, publishes and operates the Blizzard games in
China. Including Diablo Immortal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's like their big partner, right? So The whole thing is just real weird and uncomfortable, and everyone seems to be mad. Everyone seems to be mad in America, like left or right.
Oh, yeah.
One thing we can all agree on is that freedom of speech is good.
Yeah, right.
Like actual free speech, not like how it's been toting around lately, where it's like, I should be able to say the N-word.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, actual freedom of speech. About, like, you know, protesting governments.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just so dumb for so many reasons. First of all, like we said to me, like, they had to think this was going to blow up in their faces here. It's almost like, well, who, which side are you picking, China or America? Who do you want upset with you?
Well, I understand, more money in China.
Yeah, which is kind of a big F.
And the thing is, well, I mean, realistically, do I think they've upset so many people that they're going to be losing significant money here? No.
Yeah, you know, we see all these boycott blizzards. Like, it's the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, too. I'm sure,
I mean, everyone's saying, there's a lot of posts on our Hearthstone, like, I've deleted my account. I mean,
no, you haven't.
How much is that going to amount to? I mean, maybe they have, but how many?
Yeah.
I mean, you go today, everyone's still streaming the game. I mean, it's not, like, those people aren't saying anything. They might not, they're probably either straight up not allowed to, or they just don't want to get involved and get on Blizzard's bad side. But it's like Kriparian went online today and said anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is kind of disappointing. Maybe they did, I don't know. But I think we would have heard, you know, everyone's got to kiss a little ass, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your livelihood, I mean.
Right, I mean, I understand it's a difficult situation. But it's, you know, you kind of wish that Blizzard could take a stand here and do the right thing.
And that's what kills me. It's like, so many companies, they always talk about chasing China. This was the risk. Like, you had to know that going into it. And you had to decide, when you went into that market, how far are we willing to go with this? And apparently they decided this is how far.
It's uncomfortable thing because everybody wants to be in the Chinese market because it's huge. And they want to, like, it's a big global brand.
But it's an oppressive market. This is the shit that happens.
They don't have the same freedoms as we do.
Yeah.
And maybe we shouldn't necessarily cave to that. And, you know, a lot of times they're like, oh, well, it's like what WWE in Saudi Arabia, right? Well, we have to respect their culture that they don't like women very much. No, you know.
Yeah. Or like, no, you don't.
Women can't wrestle. And that's just the way they feel. It's like, you know, I understand, like, you know, there are cultural differences, but at a certain point, maybe we can't actually say, maybe this is actually the moral high ground. And that's not just because we're Americans, but because it's right. It's complicated. I'm sure a lot of people at Blizzard aren't happy. You know, it's funny because one of the tenets at Blizzard, like, one of their, like, what, core philosophies is what everyone has a voice. There's that picture where somebody, like, covered up with paper on the statue of New York. So it's real bizarre, it's real uncomfortable.
And they're just like, since this all is blown, they haven't said a damn thing.
Right, which, I mean, who, you know, it's complicated. Maybe they're still formulating something. I hope the plan isn't just to say nothing.
Right.
Because they have a giant conference.
I know, and again, I'm so looking forward to BlizzCon, and now it's like, well, great. This is going to be like the shadow over BlizzCon, which I understand is selfish on my part. But it's like, Blizzard has made it very hard in the last 12 months to play and enjoy their video games guilt-free.
That's the thing. Like, I was, like, thinking about this, like, oh, I'm kind of stressed out. I need to take my mind off it. Maybe I'll play, like, World of Warcraft. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't really want to play World of Warcraft today. I don't know if I'm going to be quite so intense as, like, I'm not going to cancel my subscription. And so maybe I don't know.
But it's the thing. It's the same thing, like, now. Like, for example, I was randomly just shuffling through music on my computer. And the one track, not only from World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria, the one written by Jeremy Soule is like a guest composer. And it's like, you know, in the back of your head, you're like, I feel like I can't enjoy this like I used to.
Which one,
like,
did he do?
It's like the Wind Serpent one. I'll show it to you later.
Oh my gosh.
You could tell it's him when you hear it. It has his style all over it, which is gross now when you say it like that. But yeah, it's just between, you know, the whole Diablo thing, then all the layoffs and, like, the weird thing they did with Heroes of the Storm. And then, see, when they finally got that goodwill back with, like, Classic going well and the 8.3 announcement was well-received, and then this has to happen.
Right. I mean,
it's like, really?
I'd rather be talking about 8.3 and how, like, there's things I think look cool in it. It's like, I don't really feel super comfortable being like, oh, wow, I'm real excited about this next video game thing.
Well, and here's the shitty thing, too. Like, how many people work at Blizzard versus how many people made this decision?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like,
I say, I do wonder, like, who made this decision?
Was it Jalen Brett? Was it Bobby Kotick? Like, again,
or was it, like, the head of, like, Blizzard things in Hong Kong?
Yeah, or was it, like, the head of, like, the esports?
Right, like, who made this decision,
right?
You would hope it would be at least the highest up in Blizzard, but,
well, at least, like, I feel like the only way there is for them to fix this is Forever did make the decision to come out and own it and be like, this was my choice. And then, let what happens to him happen. If Blizzard lets him go or whatever. But it's like, really, did you have to fuck this up this badly?
I feel like there might not be a whole ton of executive interviews at BlizzCon, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. We won't be talking to Breck or anything like that.
We'll see. But yeah, the whole thing is just bizarre. And I mean, these kind of things are going to keep happening. You think at some point China's going to be like, look, all right. Like, I mean, is it really... The situation in Hong Kong is a mess for them already. It's like, at this point, they may as well just let the people say what they're going to say.
Like, the president banned Winnie the Pooh because people make jokes that he looks like him. Like, they're so thin-skinned about everything there. Because they know they have leverage because they're such a big market.
I think Winnie the Pooh's banned. I think Winnie the Pooh is in Shanghai, Disney.
He doesn't like it.
I don't know if Winnie Pooh's banned.
And it's like, it makes you wonder, like does it take like every American company to be like, if you don't want our shit, you're not gonna get our shit, and then you guys have to deal with it. I don't know.
Who knows, maybe China wouldn't mind, because then China can say, well, then you don't get our shit, and then all of a sudden, I mean, that's kind of that's the trade war, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, fun times with
it just sucks. America, like, China, video games are supposed to be the escape from all this shit, and now it's like front and center in it. It's like, come on.
Speaking of video games, so we had like another weird muted PlayStation 5 announcement, which hilariously got overshadowed by Blizzard.
Yeah,
like,
what do you know? Whoops.
Hong Kong thing. And once again, it's just like a Wired article.
Yeah, they're so weird about the way they do this. It's just like have a video or something. Talk about it. Get people excited. I mean, I know, like, you would think maybe they think it is enough to say, like, it's called the PlayStation 5. Here's what it does. But, like, I don't know. Make a little 30-second video sizzle reel.
It's not even their story. They're like, give it, it's Wired. It's like, hey, Wired, we're going to tell you about, you tell everyone. We're tired. Yeah, yeah. We'll summarize your story on our blog.
I mean, it was nothing
crazy.
I mean, okay, yeah. It's called the PlayStation 5.
Next holiday.
We saw that coming. I mean, the biggest revelations really was about the controller, which I guess looks like just a DualShock 4, but it's got haptic feedback instead of Rumble, we have that in the Switch right now.
There's not basically much of a change with the DualShock at this. I think everyone likes the DualShock 4 plenty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not going to really have a touchpad anymore, is it?
I haven't heard contrary.
I mean, what game has used that recently? Yeah, I think that's probably going to be like a button up there now. Like
maybe
another
for backwards compatibility's sake. But, you know, it's USB-C, it's a bigger battery, which is good because the battery life in the DualShock 4 sucks.
Yeah. It's haptic rumble, and then it's also got like those triggers with the resistance. Didn't we have like a PC controller like 15 years ago that had the Sidewinder?
The Sidewinder Force Feedback Pro.
So that had that feature.
Yeah, it just basically tightens itself against you.
This isn't a new thing.
Not entirely.
Remember,
it's cool though.
Remember, like, two generations ago when Rumble was a last gen feature.
Oh yeah.
Now we're leading with it.
Yeah. It's not Rumble. It's haptics, Mike. They're different.
Oh, it's rumbling. Well, to be clear, Rumble is more of a spinning technique that was going on in there. I saw with the clear Nintendo 64 controller.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's how it works.
No, it's just spinning. It's not rumbling at all.
Yeah, just really, really fast.
But I mean, I don't know. What else did they say? There's like some weird stuff with the UI I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, some hocus pocus about how it's going to like pull stuff forward from the game to suggest what you should do next.
I don't understand that. Like, is it like, because if it's like one UI for all that seems really immersive, like breaking.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, again, if we saw it in action, we might actually know what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, they went on again about how SSDs are improving load time.
Good.
Which I don't understand. I mean, I have an SSD in my computer. There's still load time. I mean, maybe if you're writing specifically for it, that changes things.
I mean, it's faster if it's...
Well, yeah, but they're making it sound like there are no load times.
Right. Yeah, it's a little weird. Well, I bet there'll still be like that initial load time. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Then they talk about 8K and it's like, roll your eyes.
Like, yeah, like, you know, the ray tracing's exciting. You know.
Ray tracing is an actual thing.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I mean, 8K is a thing, but like, Jeff says this a lot. It's like, unless you're like right next to the screen, you're not gonna see. We were kind of like at Best Buy the other day and they had the 8K TV and we were like talking to one of the employees about something and you like made a joke about it and the employee kind of took it upon himself to defend 8K.
He's like, well, actually, if you get really close, you definitely. I was like, yeah, but I'm not gonna. If I have a 75-inch 8K TV, I'm not going to be, like, 2 feet away from it.
Yeah, it's like, it does not matter.
I mean, great if it does, you know. And, oh, it's a 4K Blu-ray player, which the Pro isn't.
But that's the other thing. Like, everyone watches digital now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess it should have it.
Yeah, may as well.
You know, are those 4K? Didn't Disney just release a lot of older movies on 4K Blu-ray today?
I don't know. I got Toy Story 4 just today on 4K Blu-ray.
I was thinking about that, like how I like Toy Story 4 fine, but I'm not in a big rush to go play it.
You'll get the digital share on Google.
Yeah, I guess that'll be good enough.
There you go. That has ray tracing.
Oh, wow.
A little different.
But Pixar has access to ray tracing. Yes, I believe that.
No, Toy Story 4 is the first time they had, like, full-blown ray tracing.
Whoa.
Disney started it with Big Hero 6.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating. How much ray tracing is in Frozen 2?
Probably a lot.
Oh, so much ray
tracing. Probably a lot.
That's, you know, how much is going to be in Star Wars Episode 9?
Well, it's Star Wars Rey. I don't know if she's going to trace anything.
Oh, she's tracing things with her weird foldable lightsaber.
Yes.
By all our playsets and toys.
So what are you playing, Mike?
I beat Link's Awakening.
Oh, cool. How was that?
It was super fun. I mean, you know, it's a great game. It's like one of the best, like, pure 2D, like, original Zelda games. It's almost, like, more pure than even A Link to the Past, which I came out after.
Right.
Like, it has almost less, like, quote-unquote gimmicks than that one.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. It's simpler.
Like, even the dungeons, like, it's not like each dungeon doesn't even have that much of a gimmick. It's kind of like Zelda 1, just they're dungeons.
Yeah, get in there.
You know?
And find some stuff.
It's fun. I mean, the style looks great all the way through. The final boss is pretty fun. I still liked playing against him. And just, like, it's all these cute little neat things. The trading game and all the fun things. So, yeah, it was a good time. But, like, I'm kind of happy, like, now I can go really dive into Ori in the Blind Forest.
There you go.
On the Switch, which runs great.
I haven't fired it. I downloaded the demo. I'll get it eventually. I just don't have any room to play it right now, but I do want to fire it up just to see.
Well, I'm playing it on hard mode, which seems like, you know, like, it's really just a combat thing, like how much damage you take is what makes it harder. Mm. Which, I mean, a lot of difficulty in Ori anyways looks like some of the harder platforming segments.
So. Right.
And I want 100% at this time.
Did I say in the article where it actually runs better on Switch than it did on Xbox? Because
they actually have 360 frames per second character animation.
Yeah. Can you tell when you're playing it? Like,
I mean, it looks good.
Yeah.
So
I love that game.
Unlike Link's Awakening, it runs 60 frames per second all the time. It still confuses me.
Yeah, well, like, Digital Foundry did their analysis. They're like, why is this happening? Like, we don't know.
Right.
It shouldn't be.
I'm like, this game doesn't seem like it's pushing any hardware that hard.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be kind of this cute little, like, you know.
I feel like you were close enough that you could have, like, turned off an effect or two and gotten there.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird to you, like, how many games run at, like, 56 frames per second? It's like, couldn't quite get those last four frames somehow.
I don't know. But, so, aside from that, I've been playing this kind of indie puzzle game on the Switch called Crossnik Plus.
Yes, I played around with you.
It's cool because one of the big things about it is just the aesthetic. It's really trying to capture that kind of Dreamcast Y2K era.
It definitely has that feel, right? Yeah, they nail that part.
A lot of the kind of, I don't even know how you describe it, but, you know, like, everything looks like kind of spacey, but, like, modern spacey, you know? Yeah. And there's a lot of that kind of, like, that music. What's what do you call that music?
Space Channel 5. I don't know. J-pop, is it?
No, it's not J-pop. It's not J-pop. What is it? You know, I mean, I like J-pop fine.
No,
I guess.
It's more like that EDM.
Ridge Racer had the same thing.
Yeah, like EDM.
EDM world music almost, kind of. It's like electronic world music something. It's not electronic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of electronic bits.
Right.
Some synthesizers.
I don't know what you'd call it.
But it's good. And the puzzle game is—it's almost kind of like Rubik's Cube-ish. It's like you're trying to.
Yeah, it's a good way of putting it. You're making crosses by sliding.
Right.
I'll be honest. I thought it was just okay.
You played like a round of it.
I know, but it wasn't like, you know. Sometimes you play a good puzzle game, you get addicted to it. We finished that round. I was like, good.
Well, the fun is when you do, like, there's, like, you know, the leaderboards of your friends and stuff. And you're trying to do. But, I mean, it's more like there's the endless mode where so you keep making crosses, and each time you make a cross, it resets the timer, and that's kind of what's happening in multiplayer.
Yeah.
So you keep doing that, and then there's, like, the time mode, which is, you know, how many points can you get in, like, 3 minutes, or 1 minute, or 5 minutes. So, and that's cool.
I'll take that grindstone on my iPhone any day. Have you played that yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you need to.
I haven't done too much iPhone gaming lately, because, yeah, basically, it was basically just a lot of those Zelda. Switch games. Yeah, a lot of Zelda, some World of Warcraft.
I've been playing that Destiny too.
I haven't started that
I'll
yet.
I'll tell you what, Mike. I'm in it. It's in a there good goes, place right now.
Well, there goes your World of Warcraft Classic journey.
Well, no, I finally now that I got my box with the game time all the back, right. And I was waiting for that. But no, so I did a bunch of strikes the other day, and it's kind of cool because since I haven't played for a while, even like beyond just the new Strikes and Shadowkeep, there's like two expansions worth that I never played. Yes. So they're all new to me.
And it boosted everybody's character to like.
So yeah, so the previous max of 750 is basically level one now.
And everyone's 750?
Yes. It's a little, they did a, I think, I feel a very poor job explaining all this before. I think they think they did a good job, but they didn't. So there is no levels anymore. It's just all power level.
Just all light
the levels are just tied to the season pass, which is like a battle pass style progression. And the one thing you do get is once you hit level 7 of the pass, you get like a relic that levels up as you're playing. And you could, it gives it like a power boost and also gives you some mods to unlock. But the big thing is this armor 2.0 system where armor just has a power number to it and then slots. And every time you collect a new mod, you just unlock it. Like, they're not disposable. So you're just saying, okay, I have this piece of armor has 3 slots and it has 5 solar energy. Well, I could put 1 4 energy mod in this slot and I have 1 energy left. I'll put like just a increased defense against rank and file enemies and fill it up.
Okay.
So that's how you're like customizing your perks and all your armor.
Does it seem too complicated?
No. Once you're in it, it's perfectly fine to understand. But like, going back and reading their descriptions, like before this came out, I was trying to figure out what it was. I was like, I don't understand. Like, they just didn't do a good job explaining it. It's not that complicated, but it's good. So it just gives you more flexibility to kind of find the stuff like the look you like,
yeah,
and then just modify it to where you want it to be.
Yeah, I need to jump in there and mess around a bit. I miss it. The thing that sucks is like my one best friend who I was playing C2F a lot and who would be interested in this is really deep into World of Warcraft Classic. Yeah, and he's basically too invested in it now to be like, I'm going to start playing Destiny 2.
Like, I've heard some people complain like the old content, it's there, but it's like meaningless. It's like, no, don't do it. Like, you don't have to. It's just there if you just want to play the campaigns for fun. Don't play it as a means of progression. Just do it because you want to do the content, like Warmind and stuff like that.
I guess it's not, it'd be nice if you got something.
Yeah, I mean, you do. You get items as you're going up, like you would. But
right. Maybe it'd be a good way to like help give you more shaders specifically.
Yeah, like, you know, again, it's like going back and playing old dungeons and raids for cosmetics. Like, right. That's the way I guess you'd think of it. But just getting in and, like I said, just hopping in even the strike playlist or doing just the mission progression for Shadowkeep's been fun. I did do a...
What is the story of Shadowkeep?
A big monolithic structure has been uncovered by the Hive on the moon, so you go back. It is like the same location from Destiny 1. It's changed a little bit, but you could find like the same landmarks. It's kind
of
cool.
Is Crota around again? Or
You fight like this weird ghost of Crota.
Of course.
Yeah, it's like all these weird like apparitions is like part of the whole story. Mm-hmm. I'm not done with it
who's
yet.
Who's the new Hunter Vanguard?
There isn't one. Like, they kind of just diminish that whole, like, every class has a dude thing.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still kind of sad about them killing Kay kind of just to do it.
Well, you know, voice actors are expensive.
voice actors are expensive.
I wanted to try the whole cross-progression thing. So, like, since I was just doing strike playlists for a quest, I just jumped over my Xbox and played it. Game does look real good in 4K HDR. It just sucks because you get so used to the ultra wide or even just the wider FOV in general. I felt like I was like squeezed into a box trying to see everything. Like I had no peripheral vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But still, you know, yeah, everyone plays that limitation, I guess, since it's not cross platform play. But yeah, it's good. Like I said, it's the best shooting of anything.
Yeah,
like,
that always
felt I got my first bow and arrow, and woo, I like the way bow and arrow feels in that game. They're
does it feel like Hanzo-ish?
It does. It actually does very much. Like, they're cool.
That.
You have the damage from the impact, but I don't know if they all do, but the one I have then, like, the bolt explodes.
Right. Now, if I made a new character, like in the new intro thing, does it at the end of that make me the new base level too?
Your base level when you wake up. Like, interesting. Nothing's lower than
750. So at this point, it's a good time to start a new character.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I like my Titan.
And I mean,
what are you, Hunter?
I have a Hunter, and I had a Warlock who I started and was gonna boost with the boost I got from Forsaken. Like, it's moot now. She's just 750.
Right. I was a Hunter in OG Destiny. Yeah. It's so weird now how like Destiny 1 is just kind of like, it's just this like relic you can't access any of that stuff.
Yeah. From what I understand, it doesn't take long to get to the soft cap of level 900. I'm at 850 already.
Yeah. Well, that was how it was
before. It's like once you hit 900, then the only way you get better gear is by doing the specific things that say they reward legendary powerful gear or something like that.
The raid, right? There is a new raid, I
see? Yes, it just went live. But you don't even need the raid to get the max level. The raid is just like, you know, unique items, basically.
The best thing in Destiny 2 is that raid.
I know. We never did finish it, though.
You never finished it. I finished it multiple times.
Aren't you cool?
It was great. It was super fun.
Aren't you cool? So, yeah, you should...
Maybe I'll do that.
Give it a whirl.
Maybe I'll do it.
Again, you got the PC. You could probably run it in 4K 60 no problem right now.
Maybe. We'll see.
With your fancy new processor. Yeah, you want to talk about that?
I got a new processor. You know more about it than I do. You put it in. Yes. I don't know these things.
You now have a Ryzen 7 3600X. Which is the new generation of Ryzen, and you got the motherboard to go with it. Your computer's running real
well. What did I have before?
An i5 6400.
It was rough. It was not going well.
It was not. You have a Titan XP too, so you were a little CPU bound there. Yeah. Now that your GPU is your bottleneck. When I was looking at your test results from the benchmarks, it was the GPU was the limiting factor, such as it is. You're set for a while, unless you really want ray tracing.
Let's talk about some other companies that had weird weeks.
Okay.
Not quite as bad as Blizzard. So the Skyliner at Disney World.
Yeah, what a...
One week.
Not even, 6 days.
And there's an accident. And like a big accident where no one's seriously hurt.
No one's hurt.
But
a few people were treated for
Right.
You know, they got sick while they were in the bucket for 3 hours.
Skyliners collided, glass broke, and people were stranded for 3 hours.
They were getting some people down by cherry picker ladders.
Right. I mean,
eventually they got it moving again.
It's like, well, this happened in 6 weeks. What's the worst that could happen? Is what people are
just the frustrating thing from the outside observer was, first of all, it seemed like they really did not prepare for a mass evacuation of the system. The fact that it took 3 hours.
Well, they see the Reedy Creek firefighters. They was a statement look, we've been saying we need more firefighters or short staffed, and they won't do it.
Yeah,
especially now with the Skyliner thing.
Yeah, so maybe this is a wake up call for that.
Maybe it won't be.
Yeah, but the other issue for people in the buckets was they were getting no communication.
Yeah,
at all.
Is there a PA system?
It kept playing the same canned. The Skyliner is temporarily halted. We hope to be moving again soon, and thank you for your pay. It was that kind of thing. Every couple minutes.
And they have an emergency pack under your seat.
With water and barf bags and a notepad.
What's the notepad for?
So you can write down your angry thoughts, I guess. So everyone who got off, when they got off, they got a $100 gift card and a park hopper, which... It feels to me like a weird thing to get because, presumably, if you're there on vacation, you've already bought your park ticket. So, for next time, I guess.
It's not so much that this accident, because, that sucks. But it's this happened already. How bad could an accident be on this thing?
Well,
why aren't there, how are there not backups upon backups to stop whatever that happened?
So they haven't specifically said what has happened, and they probably won't, although I feel like they should.
Yeah.
Just so people can understand and maybe, because there were already people who were afraid of this thing before. My wife's one of them.
Yeah.
Before this happened, she's like, oh, I don't think I'll ever ride that. Now she's like, nope. Great.
Well, what are you going to do? Because, you're going to go in Skyliner, you're going to go somewhere. How's she going to get there?
Bus.
Yeah.
But they blamed it on a power failure. So here's my best guess is what happened. When these things come into the station, you unload on one side. Then once you're off, the bucket goes to a turnaround where it comes off the cable and glides on a track. Then it catches the cable on the other side in the loading area, and then it goes on its way. My guess is as the car was gliding on the turnaround, the power went out, causing everything in front of it to stop. But it was gliding freely, so it kept going, and that's where the collision happened.
You think there would have been.
How's there not a brake on that track for that exact situation?
Right.
I mean, we talked about, if you go listen to 90s Disney's Tower of Terror podcast episode, they have a system in that ride where if the power goes out, that causes magnets to turn off, thus engaging an e-brake system.
Right.
That's your solution.
It's real safe. And then there's backups on that.
And the thing is, it's not like Disney invented these. It's a off-the-shelf system that's used worldwide. So has this never been considered before?
I don't know.
Really?
I wonder how long this thing's going to be closed now.
Yeah, it's indefinite.
poor Chris is going to be there. And like,
I know he's all excited to ride it. It may not happen.
You think like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How long is the original test thing?
I mean, they test, and that's the thing. They tested for months. Like they've been running, they ran tests all summer.
That's the problem, though. I mean,
so you get people in it, but like,
you get tested for months. If this thing's supposed to run for 50 years, I mean,
yeah.
What's the worst freak accident that could happen? What a
PR nightmare, right, for that to happen 6 days when people are already skeptical of it. It's just,
whoops.
What kills me too is Diz Twitter being what it is. Everyone's like, ugh, this is what you get for going cheap. Like, this was not a cheap thing.
There's mechas that's not monorails.
Yeah, like this wasn't a cheap system. Just
it's funny because it seemed like it was a big win at first. Everyone really liked it.
Yeah, after the fact, I was like, oh, this is actually pretty nice. You know, there's a nice breeze when you're moving. Yeah. But thank God this wasn't night.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it was like noon? On a hot day?
Yeah, it would have been bad.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Anyway, the WWE's had their Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
What a fucked up week.
This I loved this. I was not watching this show. I don't really watch too much WWE anymore. But their main event, a Hell in a Cell match, which it was Bray Wyatt as the Fiend now, so he wears a scary mask.
Uh-huh.
Fighting Seth Rollins. First off, the whole match is bathed in red demonic light.
Yeah, if you saw a picture of someone who was like sitting in higher seats, right, the red light reflecting on the cage, you just couldn't see anything.
What do you think is like their in-universe explanation for why the cage is in red lights?
Because it looks cool.
No, like, is Bray Wyatt, like so demonic that he can change the color? So anyways, but the match ends in a disqualification because Seth Rollins is using too many weapons, a sledgehammer, I believe. A disqualification in a Hell in a Cell match.
Okay.
So everyone got mad. And of course, WWE, they have, a lot of just general viewers, so I think their ratings were fine on Monday. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be a bump for AEW.
Poor Bray Wyatt. He's a great wrestler, actually. But
yeah,
all of his big events are terrible.
Oh, remember that Randy Orton match?
Yeah, it was awful.
They projected
the
bug.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was so bad.
I don't know why they can't figure out what to do with that guy.
Well, the problem with this one was they don't want Bray Wyatt to lose because they just repackaged him as the Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want Seth Rollins to lose because he's their champion. Well, why'd you book this match then? Don't have them fight each other.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Well, yeah. What a week.
Yeah.
That's enough of it for me.
To wrap it up, I did finish The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger.
Yeah.
Real, real good book. If you're at all a Disney fan, you should read it or listen to it. If you're interested in just kind of business management practices, it's very interesting from that point of view, too.
Is he going to add a chapter about the Skyline?
Yeah. Well, honestly, having finished that book, right as this was happening, I kind of started, construing in my head, his response to this. Trying to figure out like what he would do about it. Someone's getting fired would be my guess.
Yeah.
But it's real, real good book. And it's very cool to like a big chunk of the end is the Fox acquisition.
Sure.
Which was pretty interesting to hear all that all came together. Just kind of hearing the ins and outs of all these corporate discussions and dealing with the government regulations, and then Comcast was trying to do their bids and everything that went into it. Very cool. So yeah, you should check that out.
Alright, I think that does it for me. How about you?
Yes.
Alright, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Yep, Penny, we're done. Facebook and Twitter and all those places. You can leave us a review at all the places wherever you listen to the show. And don't forget to check out 90s Disney. Our latest episode on Test Track is out now. So listen to that, and thanks for listening. You'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye.